Portions of this program are made possible in part by listeners like you and by Winston Hills Ribs and Stuff, 5090 East Arapahoe Road, Centennial, Colorado. For more information, if you're in the Denver metro area, give them a call at 303-843-6475 or visit the website at www.winstonhillsribsandstuff.net.
By The Modern Gladiator, an online men's lifestyle magazine featuring straight-ahead, hard-hitting articles geared at today's modern male. For more information, visit the website at www.themoderngladiator.com.
Glad to see that you showed up again this week for the Father Show. And I'm your host, Mike Thompson. And I'm so glad that you joined us today. We have been having a great show here. And today we have a special guest. But before we get to her, she's been on the show once before. But I'm glad to have her back. And we're going to be really talking about the growing up fatherless. And she's a young lady that has grown up fatherless. But you are watching The Father Show right here on Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. Or you might be watching us on The Father Show YouTube channel. But our show is sponsored in part by Winston Hills Ribs and Stuff at 5090 East Arapahoe Road in Centennial, Colorado. And got to go out there. If you like ribs and you want some great barbecue, go out there and say hi to them and let Ron know that you heard about it right here on The Father Show. And we also sponsored in part by The Modern Gladiator, which is an online magazine for men dealing with issues that we deal with as men on a daily basis. But I like to change that a little bit because it's not really just for men. It started off that way, but now we're incorporating women as well. So go out and check out The Modern Gladiator at www.themoderngladiator.com and check out the articles that they have on there. And I'm sure you'll find something that you'd be interested in. And now I want to get into having our guest here today. And you've seen her on here before. She is a mediator. She's a financial planner, and even for divorce, she does financial planner. She's a master in business administration and currently pursuing her PhD in psychology. So I want to say thank you for once again for coming here, because last time she was here, we talked about mediation, how important that is and how easy it is on the family and the kids, most importantly, when you're going through divorce, how cost effective it is going through mediation than having, you know, attorneys and going to court and things of that. Mediation can really save you a lot of money. But in that process of that conversation, I come to find out Miss Denisa Tova comes from a fatherless home. And I wanted to bring her back on here so we can understand the effect on a daughter that grew up as without a father. So today, Denise Tova is coming to share her story about growing up without a father. And I really hope we're going to dig deep into what that effect may have been for you and how that affected you growing up. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Like I said, there's always a pleasure. You know, pretty faces, you just makes life so much easier to have a pretty face to look at. So I know with you being, you grew up without a father.
Yes.
So let's kind of start back. How did that happen? What made that happen that you didn't have a father in your life?
Well, first, I was born and raised in a different country. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised in a former Czechoslovakia in Eastern Europe. Mm-hmm. And my parents divorced when I was 4 years old. And I remember vividly him leaving that evening. And then we would see, I have a younger sister, 2 years younger.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, for a few years, he would show up during the summer and we would spend a little time with him. But we would always hear stories from our mom how he abandoned us. And, you know, he was no good, irresponsible man, and mm-hmm. he put her through hardship. And when I was 8 years old, my mom, she packed our bags, and she moved us to China.
Wow.
For an assignment for 4 years, where she worked at an embassy. And so we were completely cut off from our friends, from our father, from pretty much anybody for 4 years. And then when I came back, I had a couple of contacts with my dad, but... You know, I was so alienated at that time, and I was my loyalty lied with my mom, mm-hmm. that anything he said, I didn't believe, and I really had no interest in having any sort of relationship. And, but you know what, unfortunately, this was a time, I was about 15 years old, mm-hmm. when I left home, and I moved to America, all by myself.
Oh, really?
And my mom left me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really tough. I mean, like it was a matter of survival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was homeless for a long period of time. I didn't know what I was going to eat, if I was going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some really, you know, tough moments. I became a pregnant teen and I started raising my son. And so in retrospect, a lot of decisions would have been different if my father was here or was around. Anyway, just a few years ago, I reconnected with my father because I became curious. And he's kept correspondence over the years
mm-hmm.
between him and my mom. And things were very different. And so it was really my mom who made it very toxic. I mean, this man, when he left her, when they divorced, he's been with the same woman for 40 years.
Okay.
Raising her daughter and, you know, now her son as well. And he's a family man, and I mean, there was faults on both of their sides, but
and usually
so unnecessary, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I definitely missed out in a big way.
Yeah, and you know, even saying that you were homeless, one of the statistics that I read about is it's like 90% of homeless and runaway kids are from fatherless homes. And that's a huge statistics when you look at it. It's like, really, it's the effect of not having a father in the home is huge. And even on top of that, the effect of a mother bad mouthing a father is something that really is even more important, because the talk about a person is giving you, like you said, a perceived notion of who your father really is, and that notion is coming from hurt. But how are you supposed to know that?
And not only that, as a girl, you start looking for love at all of our places.
And you look for a father. And sometimes a father, they say they look for a father like their own. And how can it be that if you don't know him or you don't interact with him, how are you going to really know what a man is supposed to be or how he's supposed to treat you?
And so, you know, in my divorce, I've been mm-hmm. divorced as well. I mean, initially, our kids were young, 3 and 6, and mm-hmm. it was an emotional charged situation. And, but, you know, you very quickly realize that although we were breaking up as a couple, we were not going to break up. The stability for our children. And we were able to set our differences aside. And I could see this kid many years ago, but I can see today the impact that that my ex-husband has on my kids' lives.
Mm-hmm.
Especially my daughter, who's 16 and a half right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thrilled. I am so grateful that she was a father in her life.
Yeah, it does make a huge difference. And I see it even in my own daughter, because my daughter's mother did pretty much what your mother did. Even though I was around, I had my visitation, but she did everything she could not to let me have that visitation. So it was rough. And I see my daughter is 25 now, and I still see the effect on my daughter today. And even though I finally got custody of her, my daughter was about 11 or 12. And I took her into counseling right off the bat because I already knew she was going to need some. But she didn't really take advantage of it, is unfortunately. And part of that, I blame myself because I didn't know as a father. And that's why I really try to tell parents there's no such thing as a perfect parent. And you should always be trying to involve and learn, because if what I know now, I wish I'd have known then, because I didn't know that maybe I should have tried to know a new psychologist instead of, you know, hey, you going to this one, let's go, you need to talk, open up, spill the beans, let your feelings out. But she wasn't comfortable with her. And she used to be comfortable with my mother, but however, my mother died 12 years ago, so Angelia would have, it was right about that time. So it was hard for her. She didn't have anybody that she could really relate to and talk to and get that stuff off of her. So I see her now and I look at her, I'm like, wow, I wish I had known better. But first of all, I wish none of that had happened, in the sense of, you know, her mom saying, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, or your dad is this, your dad is that. So, and you say you have a younger sister, right? Okay. Oh, okay. So I want to get back to the C. I know it affected you, and I want to see, you know, you tell me a little bit about your sister and how it affected her as well. But we got to take a quick break. And if you are a man looking for resources, go to the Father Show Resource Program website at www.thefathershow.r, as in resource, P as in program, and look at resources there. We're in all 50 states, so maybe you can find something there that you need. If not, give us a call and we'll see what we can do to help you. So this is the Father Show. We're here with Denise Tova today, and we're talking about the effect of a fatherless daughter growing up. And we'll be right back and talk a little bit more. Welcome back, everybody, and you have just tuned back into the Father Show, and I'm glad that you did. Make sure you tell somebody else to come join us and watch us on Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org, and also on the YouTube channel, The Father Show. So today we have Denise Tova, and you've seen her on here before, and you'll probably see her on here again, but she is a mediator, and she does financial planning for divorced couples. But the reason we're here today is we're talking about growing up fatherless, and she did. And right before we took a break, you were, you know, I was asking you about your sister, because it was two of you.
Yes.
And you're the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
And so your sister, do you see something that has affected her by not having her father in the life as well?
Most definitely. My sister lives in Switzerland.
Ooh.
So we both kind of, you know, moved away from our home country, if you will. And really, we have a complicated relationship with our mother, and I think part of it was growing up without our dad. And mm-hmm. and so it has taken her a lot longer, you know, to forgive and really to start building a confidence in herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's really now starting to embrace who she is, and also recently reconnected with our dad.
Okay.
So just like me.
So let me ask you, you say she... You guys have been strained with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because of what she's has told you growing up about your dad, or just what was it? You know, was it, you know, her being upset about, you know, your dad leaving, or was it the information that she provided about your dad that made you guys have a little strained relationship?
My mom is one of those people who would hold a grudge for the rest of her life.
Mm, okay.
And so she would poison everybody around her because she felt hurt. And it's something that she has carried with her for so many years. She had been, you know, a provider, single provider for, mm-hmm. for many, many years. She worked two jobs. So she carried a lot of anger, a lot of resentment. But as a result of that, it put a lot of pressure on us. Mm-hmm. So we later on in life have been reminded that if it wasn't for her having to raise two children, she would have put herself through school. She would have made different choices. And we sense that. It was a fairly abusive household and upbringing, mm-hmm. you know, physically and emotionally. Very sort of unstable. You had a period of time when she was very nurturing to a very sudden triggers where she'd say, go pick a belt. And that was a capital punishment for very small offenses.
Hmm. You sure I wasn't married to your mom? You kind of sound like what my daughter has gone through. Yeah. It does affect you. And my daughter came to me about 3-4 years ago. And she said, Dad, understand. Because I never said anything. I would never say anything. She would say, well, Mom said this and that and the other. And I'm like, uh-huh. Okay. And
you wouldn't give in to that.
Nope.
Good for you.
No. That was one thing I was proud of myself to be mm-hmm. able to say that I did not badmouth her mom, even though she took me through, and me and my daughter took her through hell and back. But, you know, my daughter said, well, Mom said she kicked you out. Well, okay. Whatever.
You took the higher road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I knew that bashing my daughter's mother is not the answer, mm-hmm. and because that's going to affect her, my daughter, in the long run, because what she thinks about her mother. I tell people all the time that you really don't have to badmouth the other person, because the child will understand and will see for themselves mm-hmm. what kind of parent they have.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm. It might not come when you want it to.
Yes.
And as fast as you might want it to. But it will come.
That's right.
So I see how, you know, you and your sister, I can understand how you had those, you know, feelings that you had to overcome. And did it make it harder for you to reconnect with your dad with those ideas in your head?
You know, later on in life, it became more and more clear that my mom battled some real, you know, real emotional issues. Mm-hmm. And so I started questioning, you know, her accusations. And part of having gone through my own process, my own divorce, and then line of work that I'm in, mm-hmm. There's always two sides of the story. So that's where I became curious. And also his approach to it, he's never badmouthed her. Mm-hmm. He has never forced any sort of evidence onto me. Only when I asked, he provided. And even then just was very graceful and, you know, very, very open. So that's what led me to believe that, you know, he's a completely different person.
Yeah. And like you said, he's already remarried and has longevity in that marriage, right now. So,
but even if the relationship was very conflicted, let's mm-hmm. say, and he did many things that my mom had accused him to have done, I still would have been better off having a father in my corner as a protector.
Yeah.
I have endured so much hardship that really somebody at my age or no age, you know, should endure.
Can you elaborate on that?
Well, for instance, you know, when I was 14 years old and to sort of get up and say, you know, I have an opportunity to move to another country with grad student who was mm-hmm. 10 years older, I know that as a dad, he would come in and say, well, absolutely not. There's something wrong with the picture. You're 14. He's 26 years old. I don't think so. You know, so that was really a huge, you know, turning point in my life. Now, I am certainly grateful for every experience that I've had because it added to my texture and it is who I am today. But, you know, I would have saved myself so much heartache and, you know, and so much abuse. Mm-hmm. I've gone through a lot.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely correct. I believe that fathers do, like I said earlier, kind of give you what a father is supposed to be like. You know, I look at my wife and she'll say, and we're talking about her dad and we're so much alike that is, and ironically enough, I never knew it, and I wasn't attracted to my wife because of that, but she's a whole lot like my mother. Okay. I will sit there and just say, I tease my mother, we used to call her Granny, and sometimes my wife would do something, I said, okay, Granny. And, you know, she just laugh, but they are alike. So mm-hmm. I think that we do, whether we realize it or not, we do take on or look for those characteristics that our parents had, or some good, some bad. But
yeah, I was looking for safety and security. And, yeah. You know, that's one of the challenges is really as a young woman, just being promiscuous and looking mm-hmm. for love at the wrong places.
Yeah.
So that was just sort of created this huge hole in my life. Enormous.
Now, did you have any father-like role models or figures?
Not really.
Growing up?
No. Okay. No, I did not. I mean, later on in life, I've had some mentors, mm-hmm. more of a business mentors or spiritual mentors, and really opened up my eyes and I think helped me to become whole as a person. Mm-hmm. And just kind of made me realize, you know, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. And so I feel I'm definitely very balanced mm-hmm. and I am a much better parent that way.
So how do you think you got to be so balanced? How did that come about?
You know, I am a personal growth junkie. Okay. So I read whatever I can read and, you know, I strive for growth and, I study people who are successful, not just in business, but in life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a spiritual person. You know, I think parenthood teaches you a lot. And I practice, you know, my parenting style is so different from my mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe in tough love mm-hmm. and really in guiding my children.
Yeah.
And to better decisions and not being afraid to just kind of let go and let them make their mistakes, but be there to encourage them and empower them, you know.
Now, do your kids know your story?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I was so open, mm-hmm. so open about it. And they have so much appreciation and respect. And I think that's really important. And that's, you know, one of my biggest advice to parents who are going through the transition of divorce or separation, talk to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Only 5% of parents tell their children about, you know, about what's going on. And what happens, it keeps the children isolated, feeling lonely, like they're unloved. You really have to be honest and authentic. And you can explain it in simple terms.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got to take a break, but I want to get to what age should you sit down and talk with your kids about the divorce as, you know, imminent or coming up? And so we'll talk about that when we get back. But we've got to take a quick break. But you're watching The Father Show right here on Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. Or you might be tuning in on The Father Show YouTube channel. Either way, we love to have you and we appreciate you being here. Now, if you're an organization that provides resources that they can help men, say mediation or counseling or things of that nature, we ask and invite you to go to The Father Show Resource Program website at www.thefathershow, R as in resources, P as in program, and click on resources and you'll see a button that comes up that says submit a new resource and just go ahead and go on that, fill out the information and we'll get you listed and we're in all 50 states, so it doesn't matter where you are. All right. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
As long as I can find the groove.
Welcome back, everybody, and you have just returned back to the Father Show, and we're here today with Denise Tova, who is a mediator and she's a financial divorce planner. So, but we're talking today about her growing up without a father in her life and experiencing a divorce with her parents at an early age, her and her sister both. And so we've been talking about that, and we're going to jump back in. I had the question, now I forgot about it, but
you remember? You wanted to know what was the an appropriate age to share with your children about divorce or separation.
Yeah.
You know, I think just use your judgment, but a child as young as 5 years old can, mm-hmm. can obviously understand somewhat that there's a change going on. And so describe it in the simple terms. But I think overall, children need assurances mm-hmm. that they will not stop being loved. And they need, they like predictability and yeah. the structure and stability.
Yeah, and stability is mm-hmm. is a huge key, and kids really do like that. So it's great, and I hope parents can really watch the show, and if they're about to go through a divorce or have gone through a divorce, it doesn't mean you can't clean it up and change it, change the way you've been acting, change the way you what you've been saying. I actually watched a show the other day, and it was talking about two parents that had five kids, and they were going through a divorce, very nasty divorce. And the mother, she had two teenage daughters. I think they were 14, 15 at the time. And she actually called them up and she took those two girls and put them away so that the dad could not find them. And she had all five of the kids thinking that the dad was abusive and this and that and the other. And the oldest son, he chanted what his mother had told him to do. He even put it on Facebook that his dad was abusive and he was mean and he was nasty. And come to find out, he was, as far as we can tell now, he was none of that. The court couldn't even find anything that substantiated what the mother was saying. And she said, oh yeah, I called police. I had pictures and this and that and the other. And the show tried to find the pictures, couldn't find any. They even went to the police department and said, okay, she says she made reports. No, there's no reports. Hmm. But she had all five of those kids brainwashed in a sense that they will say these. They said it to the judge. They went into court, wow. psychiatrist. They told them the same thing. And these two girls were actually out of the house, and that father was looking for those two girls for 2.5 years. I mean, and really now they are back home with the dad. The ex-wife was in jail for a while. I think she spent like 130 some days in jail. They finally let her out, but she got to go to court. But there's an underground that will take kids from, for the most part, I can tell, four mothers take their kids and put them somewhere so that the father cannot find them.
There's actually a movement, a service.
There's an underground service that will actually do that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And there was another young man they had on the show as well. And he went through this for over a year. And he was thinking about committing suicide because he literally, all he did was sit at home and play video games because he couldn't go to school. So he just sat at home and or sit wherever they had him, and they had him in different places. They would put him here for a little bit and then move him somewhere else. And so that nobody could track him. But at the end, he said, yeah, it exists.
You know, if the situation is contentious and there's a high conflict, and I have to tell you that out of the 1600 something divorces that I mediated, mm-hmm. most of them began as a high conflict divorces. Mm-hmm. Mediation doesn't mean everybody sits around singing kumbaya.
It doesn't.
And it's amicable. You know, it's it's, and but here's the thing, when it comes to that, would be the second tip here is to, you know, keep the conflict away from your children. If you think that your spouse is no good, SOB, you know, you can encapsulate it, and you can have that conversation privately mm-hmm. with a family member, with a mediator, you know, with a friend, somewhere in, at a public place, in a coffee shop. But keep it away from the children, because they internalize it, and they think that something is wrong with them, because if the other parent is a no good something, mm-hmm. they come from that other parent just as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it leaves lasting scars. And eventually, mm-hmm. like you said, the kids are very perceptive. They see it. If yeah. one is poisoning the other against the other. And even subtle remarks like, you know, mom forgot to, you know, pack you this, or gosh, dad took you to McDonald's again. I mean, things like that can be toxic too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's belittling the other parent.
Yes.
When, you know, you really shouldn't do that. And like you said, the, you know, the kid comes from both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're bad mouthing, it's like, okay, what is that? And, you know, one thing I thought about is like, okay, what does that mean about your judgment? Because you chose that person.
Right.
So what?
And you chose to have children.
And you chose
person.
To have children with yes. that person. And I was reading one story, and it wasn't, they didn't just have one kid, she had two. So it's like, okay, you had two kids by this person, and you're trying to say he's this and that and the other.
That was my mother. My mother, she claimed that after she had me, that my father was this monster, mm-hmm. yet she hung around to have my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had that conversation.
Now, do you think your mom stayed in the marriage because of the kids, because of you and your sister, or... She, well, I mean, I know she loved her, you know, her husband. There's no doubt about that. But do you think she stayed in it because of the kids, or?
What I understand now is there are some fears, the fear of unknown, the fear of being alone, mm-hmm. which are very real things, which mm-hmm. are really real feelings. And many women go through it. I have conversation with so many women who would like to make that step forward and move forward with a divorce or separation, but they're afraid.
Now, did she have a father growing up?
No. No, her That's own father. Her own father was an alcoholic. He was very abusive. And she had an older brother, but she didn't have a healthy role model.
Yeah, when you said the fear of being alone, mm-hmm. that just kind of gave me a little clue that, oh, maybe she didn't have that stability
yes.
That she probably wanted. And that gave her some fears.
So where I am today is... I certainly have an understanding and a forgiveness around some of her decision. I mean, for many, many years, Mike, I would blame myself. I thought I was the bad teenager. And, you know, I felt so guilty mm-hmm. because she was the single mother who raised us. But later on, it became very clear that, you know, she had a lot of issues that should have been addressed. But I was able to move forward, you know, set yeah. some boundaries and to move forward. But I'm able to share that with my clients and my friends. So people don't make the same mistakes, hopefully.
Yeah, it's, you know, I know when we go through these things, we don't realize that somewhere down the road that it's going to benefit us. Nobody wants to deal with those kind of issues or any issues for that matter. We'd love to have a smooth life yeah. where everything is peachy king and dandy, but it doesn't happen that way. And those experiences are going to come back and help you or help somebody else mm-hmm. in the long run. So I know it's hard to, you know, to accept all that, but it's part of life.
It is part of life.
Now, do you believe growing up fatherless has affected you when it came down to relationships?
Most definitely. Okay. I look at my pattern of relationships, and I was looking for that father figure.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my relationships, I was able to overlook and suppress other things if I felt that the man was gave me sort of the sense of security and a safety.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, led to failed relationships. I didn't feel whole as a person, most certainly, yes.
And, you know, that's one of the questions I had was, do you feel whole? Today, I bet you feel more whole than you did back then, but part of you wasn't whole yet.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It took many, many, many years for me to get to that point. And, you know, I am at the state right now where I feel I could be in a meaningful, healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly had impacted me tremendously. Even, you know, as a parent, when I had my son, I was only 19 years old. And for a few years, I was a single mom. Even my parenting style was very different. Mm-hmm. You know, I it was just different. I had to grow into it. And so, yeah, in many respects. And, you know, and there's a research out there that really shows that having dad being involved after separation in a meaningful way is so important. Not only the child is more well-adjusted, but also they thrive academically.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I want to say, you know, to dads, don't just be a weekend and a fun parent. You know, make yourself emotionally available. Make sure, you know, you help your kids with the homework. Don't let the mom be the enforcer, because then that could create a resentment too.
And vice versa.
Yes,
because,
absolutely.
Yeah, you don't, and I agree with you 100%, but you don't want the mother to only call you when the child is acting up and you got to be the enforcer over the phone.
Yeah, the good cop and the bad cop.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, when a child is with you, yes, you discipline, you know, take care of business like you're supposed to. Like you said, do the homework. Go to their activities. Even when the child is not in your home, you still need to go to those activities. And it's important to the kids. And we've got to take another break. But I know that one is very important for kids, because I've even experienced with my son not having his mother in his life and him blaming others for not showing up. And it's like, no, that wasn't it. So you're watching The Father Show. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to kind of wrap this up with Denise Satova. And I don't know how we're going to do that yet, but stay with us. Don't go anywhere. Come back. Tell somebody else as well. Welcome back, everybody, and you have just tuned back in to The Father Show with our special guest today, Denise Satova. And we are talking about growing up without a father. And as a female, Denise grew up without a father and was told different things about her dad by her mom and wasn't favorable for her dad. But through the years, she has learned that her father wasn't the person that he was painted out to be. And she has some effects from not having a father in her life and hearing all those stories. So we want you to understand how important it is that you work together as parents. You had them together and you need to work together and raise them together as parents. And right before we took the break, we were talking about not just being a weekend father, mm-hmm. but being an active father in their life. And that means even when you don't have them, you should be at their games and at their events and so forth. And I know it's very important to do that. And I can say my son's mom and I, we did that for the most part. And when we didn't, it was really hers, you know, her not coming. But whenever she was there, you would never have known that we had any conflict, and we really didn't. You know, it was like, okay, well, our marriage didn't work, so you go your way, I go my way, and that's it. But when it came to our son, we would go to his events and be there together, sit together, take pictures, and the whole bit. He didn't see any of that argument. He didn't see any fighting among his mom and I. I don't think she badmouthed me. I know I didn't badmouth her. But we had and I'm not saying it was perfect, you know, a divorce, but we did do mediation, as I told you in the last one. But we had a relationship where I remember one time she came over to the house and she said, you know, I don't have any clothes for Savon. I said, well, go upstairs and look in this closet and get what you need. That was it. You know, I see people fighting over, well, he brought him home in this raggedy pair of shoes, and she brought him home in this, and like, really?
Yeah, I mean, you really are causing so much disruption by doing this, you know, to your children. I mean, I was mediating a situation where it was after divorce, a couple of years, and, you know, the mom refused to take the kids to their extracurricular activities, their sports activities on her time. And then dad refused to do something else on his time. They didn't realize. Exactly. And I just wanted to reach across the table. Of course, I'm neutral, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just shake them up and say, don't you realize what you're doing? You are hurting your children. So very important that you have a child-centered parenting plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that's set in stone. It changes, mm-hmm. You know, you have to adjust it as you go along. See what works not only for you and, you know, but as a whole, as a family.
Yeah.
You know, as a family unit.
And you mentioned something earlier and we talked about a little bit on the break is introducing your kids to a new mate.
Yes.
And I know because I didn't do it, but I think a lot of people, when they get divorced, sometimes they rush into a new relationship. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it where the dad is like, okay, here's, you know, this is my new girlfriend and you're going to like her and you better like her and vice versa. Women do the mm-hmm. same thing. This is, you know, the new man in my life. And sometimes it's just, they do that in spite, to say that they moved on. But when should a person introduce their child to someone they're dating?
Well, you just hit it on the head, Mike. Your child does not need to meet everybody that you date.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the problem with smaller children, the younger children, they have a tendency to attach themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go through your partners, like you go through underwear or socks, you know, they'll be confused. And people will be coming in and out of their lives. So you need to exercise a judgment and really get to know that someone privately on your own time to see if they're worth being introduced to your child. And then with the older kids, don't expect them to like your new mate right away. They have to earn that person's trust mm-hmm. and respect.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would just say do that on your time, but just be really careful.
Yeah. And it really is important. And you have to still remember, you are the example.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you're the mother or the father, you're still the example. So if you don't want your child to be promiscuous, then you don't be.
Yes.
You know, because they're going to follow your lead.
Mm-hmm. With everything. You're modeling how you resolve conflicts.
Yeah.
You're modeling so many things for your children.
Yeah, I was laughing. My wife and I were laughing one day because, and black women don't get pissed off with it. But we was like, where do they learn that from? And I says, that's it. They learned it. They saw it from their mama or their grandmother or their aunt or whoever, and they picked up that habit. You know, you see the head moving and the hands on the hip and blah, blah. And it's like, those are learned behavior. You didn't come out of the womb going, hey, give me my bottle. Where it is? You know, you learn that through watching somebody else. So you have to be careful about who you're introducing your kids to. And like you said, I think that's perfect. You can't expect them to just open their arms and wrap them around your new partner and just say, oh, I love you. Kumbaya. Let's have fun. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
And I can tell fathers, if you got a daughter, it sure ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Just forget about it. Most men I've ever known that got divorced and had a daughter, when they introduced them to that next mate, oh boy, that's.
And at the same time, we talked about conflict and keeping it away from your children. So if you are a spouse and you see that your ex-spouse is moving on fairly quickly onto a new relationship and you're hearing all these things from your children, don't use the children as messengers. Have a private conversation with your spouse or ex-spouse, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Because last thing you want to do is fuel to that conflict again mm-hmm. and you know, add to the confusion.
Well, and you don't want to, like you said, the conflict of the child seeing you fussing at the new spouse or the new mate Well, I don't want that person around my kids. I don't want that person, you know, he better not or she better not touch my kids, or I don't want that person in the house when my kids are there. Not your house. And then not, you know, they're not just your kids.
Right.
But people, I know they get the anger and the hurt. I understand that. But you got to put that aside. Like we talked about, is be an adult.
Yes.
You know, you have to be an adult.
Yes, exactly. And we're not perfect. And if you mess up, you know, own up to it and just admit it instead of trying to hide it. And again, kids can smell it miles away, you know.
And just because you have said you've been doing this all this time doesn't mean you can't stop.
Right.
You know, you can say, okay, no more. I'm not bad mouthing anybody. I'm going to let it go. We're going to accept it. And I know I had to. My son's mom started dating a guy, and it was hard because she came to him. I was one of the coaches on my son's football team, and she came to him. She said, Mike, you know, we're getting married and he's going to be a part of his life. Would you mind him coaching? It was like, yeah, come on in and coach. It was hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to really grab hold of that and just say, all right, it's not about you. And as long as he's not hurting my son, I shouldn't have a problem with it.
Set your ego.
I think for men, sometimes it's that testosterone that's running around and, you know, we got to size him up and all that. It's like, but in the best interest of my kids, most importantly, best interest of my son, I know he was going to be a part, especially if they were getting married, he was going to be a part of my son's life, good or bad, right or wrong, whether I agree with it or not. And I really didn't get to know him in a way that, excuse me, before she asked that question to say yes or no.
Yes.
So it was like, okay, well, yeah. And what a good way to know him.
Mm-hmm.
What a good way to find out who he is as a person and watch him coach.
Get him involved.
Yeah.
Speaking of coaching and sports events, you know, another thing that we talked about is, you know, allowing your kids to maintain relationships with your extended family even after separation or divorce.
Yeah.
Because there'll be birthdays and graduations and sports events. And, you know, it's important for kids to have the support network as much as they can.
It is. It is. And we did, I have to say, my son's mom and I, we did all that. We still celebrated his birthdays together. And her daughter, who was older, we celebrated her birthday. I mean, when she turned 16, they called me up and said, Mike, she's turning 16. You want to come over for a birthday party? I'm like, sure.
And it could be their grandparents.
Yeah.
You know.
Grandparents, all
cousins,
that is still a part of their family.
Absolutely.
And it's still a part of their life and it's going to be a part of their life.
And friends, you know, don't make them pick and choose.
No.
You know, take sides.
It's easy on them as you possibly
can. Exactly.
So, unfortunately, that is our show today. I told you we're going to have her back on here again because we didn't get through everything, and she kind of diverted some of that information I wanted to know. She took it off of her and put it on everybody else. She didn't think I caught that, but I caught it. But we'll get her back on here again, and we'll talk some more. But Denisa, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for telling us a little bit about your story. I appreciate it. I really hope that the audience out there has learned something from this and can learn to get along what's the guy's name in California? Can't we just all get along? Let's all just get along, have fun, enjoy your life, and let your kids enjoy their lives. So thank you for joining the Father Show today. And thank you, Denisa Tova, for being here on the show. So tell somebody else about it. Come back and see us right here on Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. And we'll see you next week. God bless.
Portions of this program are made possible in part by listeners like you and by Winston Hills Ribs and Stuff, 5090 East Arapahoe Road, Centennial, Colorado. For more information, if you're in the Denver metro area, give them a call at 303-843-6475 or visit the website at www.winstonhillsribsandstuff.net.
By the Modern Gladiator, an online men's lifestyle magazine featuring straight-ahead, hard-hitting articles geared at today's modern male. For more information, visit the website at www.themoderngladiator.com.
This program was produced by CTK Media Services.